I'm Paul Wiegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. In the studio with me is the Communications Manager from the Winterthur Museum, Garden, and Library, Liz Farrell. Welcome, Liz.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's great having you here today. The Winterthur is such a beautiful place, and this is such a beautiful time of year. I'd love to have us talk a little bit about the grounds in the current season, but also to really highlight today the blockbuster exhibit Winterthur has there now through January of 2017, I believe.
Yes.
Made in the Americas, The New World Discovers Asia. Now, what I find exciting about this is that it really puts into perspective the notion of globalization. And, you know, we hear so much about being a global society today in 2016, but for the arts, that's not new news. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, and you're exactly right, Paul. This exhibition, Made in the Americas, The New World Discovers Asia, is groundbreaking, unprecedented. You know, we could use a lot of hyperbole here. It is considered a seminal exhibition because it, in fact, is presenting new scholarship, new research that has actually caused people to go back and look at the history books, the art history books, and say we need to take another look at what we're teaching. As the curator Dennis Carr said, this really looks at and teaches a history that we weren't taught in school. And what it reveals is that there was this vast network of globalism that really began between Asia, the Americas, the colonial Americas, and Europe, going back to the 1500s. And many of the objects in this, I'm going to call it an extraordinary exhibition. There are over 80 works at Winterthur. They've never been publicly displayed before or seen, so there are some very rare, unusual, and really truly magnificent works in this, so I would encourage everyone to come and see it. But, so basically going back to about the 1500s, at a time when, if you look at traditional history, we see sort of like the connection between trade with Japan and China and Europe with the Americas, the colonial Americas, sort of not, being in that link, a link in that chain. When in fact, what this exhibition reveals in a very compelling way is how the colonial Americas were actually more than just an afterthought. It was a way station. These pieces came in from China, from Japan, into Mexico City. They were brought up to Santa Fe, what is now Santa Fe, New Mexico, and they, created this global sensation. People were, it was like a craze, the chinoiserie style and the Chinese taste. And so artisans here in the Americas began to take locally available resources and copy or mimic what was coming in from Asia. And this exhibition explores a lot of those, shows a lot of those, and there's an area where we have a demonstration recreation of how, say, for example, lacquerware was created here in what's called Japanning, so to really imitate what was done in Japan. So it's interesting on many levels.
Now, Winterthur is world famous as a center of the decorative arts,
yes,
but also contains an incredible collection of the fine arts. Now, how does this exhibit sort of demonstrate that range of types of artwork?
Well, that's a great question. Now, the exhibition started, it came down to Winterthur from the Museum of Fine Arts, Boston, and it was there from April 18 to about February 15 of 2016, and then it came to Winterthur. It does, in fact, reflect a number or the scope and range of the Winterthur collection. More specifically, it does have a number of works from Winterthur in it. Mm-hmm. So we've added to the show that was in Boston. Some of the pieces that were up there were not able to come down to Delaware for various reasons. Some were, in private collections and they didn't want them to travel. Some were deemed too fragile to make that trip. But in fact, this exhibition does a beautiful job of really kind of showcasing maybe, you know, sort of like a menu look at what Winterthur has. So textiles, you know, just these historically rich, beautiful textiles, paintings, ceramics, furniture, just a whole range of things. Mm-hmm. So it does, in fact, do a wonderful job of that. Now, our collection for the American Decorative Arts is, and we have about 90,000 objects at Winterthur in the Winterthur collection. Mm-hmm. But they focus more specifically on the year 1640 to about 1860. And a number of them go beyond that, but that's sort of the general range.
Now, could you speak to, you talked about it earlier, the sort of the connection between the art and history. What kind of research goes into an exhibition like this, either in the broader scope of the arts or into specific pieces?
Well, the curator, Dennis Carr, who is actually, we call him one of our own. He's a graduate of the Winterthur program in American Material Culture. And in fact, Linda Eaton, who is the Winterthur project curator for this exhibition, and she is also the John L. and Marjorie P. McGraw, Director of Collections at Winterthur and our Senior Curator of Textiles. She said, oh, he was, you know, one of the first students that I taught. And so she's so proud of him. Mm-hmm. This exhibition is coming to Winterthur. But when Dennis left Winterthur, he went to do studies at Yale. And while there, after he completed those, he went to the Museum of Fine Arts Boston. And they opened up in 2010 a new wing that's really dedicated, to the American arts, American decorative arts, and he oversees that wing, which consists of 53 galleries. Mm-hmm. And so in 2010, when that opened, he convened, a consortium panel of scholars from around the world to really look at, the Americas, Latin America, and look at the cultures. He had done a lot of studies at Yale in sort of the Latin study, in Latin culture as well, in addition to the American Decorative Arts. And out of that grew leads and ideas and possibilities to put together what eventually became, 5 years later, Made in the Americas, The New World Discovers Asia, which debuted, of course, in Boston in August of 2015. So he traveled around the world, and he was showing some information the other day to me about the countries he visited. You know, he had on his hiking boots with a local guide, and they were, climbing in the hills of, Mexico and Peru, and really trying to go back to these countries of origin where a number of these pieces from, the colonial Americas, quote unquote, at that time, where they originated. And so it led him on just this incredible journey, and he said it's just been exhilarating. It's been amazing for him. So we're delighted that we were able to have it come to Winterthur, and I don't believe it's going anywhere else after this. So I would strongly encourage people to come in and see it before January 8th.
So in visiting the exhibit, how does the visitor learn about the pieces? What kind of narration or what kind of information is provided with the piece? I mean, how do I learn about the research that was done?
What we have in the exhibition are these large displays, and we call them label copy, because what they do is they label the object or the work that people are viewing. And it will provide visitors with information such as the country of origin, if it's on loan from a private collection, a description of it, and just some of the significant information about it in general. So, for example, when people walk into the exhibition at Winterthur, they, first of all, will be greeted by a wall to the right where we thank the exhibition sponsors and presenters, to whom we are extremely grateful. We thank our exhibition sponsors, to whom we are extremely grateful. And they are DuPont, Glenn Mead, John L. and Marjorie P. McGraw, with additional support from M&T Bank and Potter, Anderson, and Caroon. Now, the exhibition is organized by the Museum of Fine Arts Boston. We were involved in putting this together here at Winitor. Our curators were. And so they've been, sort of put a little bit of the Winitor flourish on it. So when people walk in, they will see, sort of the wall of how this all came together. They'll see an introductory frameworking area where it's large text on the wall that basically, will tell folks what they're going to see. And we say globalism isn't a new phenomenon, as you mentioned. It began more than 500 years ago when ships carrying explorers and later goods connected the world as never before. And as you go into the exhibition, one of the first works that you will see is this beautiful screen. It's a 6-panel screen. It's by a Japanese artist who was trained in European-style painting, and it depicts a Spanish king and members of his court. It's called European King and Members of His Court, and it's from Japan, the Momoyama period of 1601 to 1614. And on the wall, they'll have where we have a plaque that will describe what is significant about this. And just beyond that, which is sort of like a showstopper stunner, is this. It's also a Japanese chest from the Momoyama period as well, and it's a lacquer chest with inlaid mother of pearl, and it has mounts and handles of gilt copper. And the way the light shines on it, it's almost like you feel like you've walked into a movie set and there's a treasure chest right there, and you're waiting for Harrison Ford to come around the corner at any moment. It's stunning. I mean, there's just no other way to describe it. And so there's a plaque there that will describe that for visitors as well.
Well, I've more to pursue. I want to first remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is a communications manager from Winitor Museum, Garden, and Libraries, Liz Farrell. We're talking about the current exhibition, Made in the Americas, The New World Discovers Asia. And just some fascinating pieces you're explaining and incredible research that's gone into this. From the research and from the exhibition, I'm intrigued. What has historically been, or why the fascination with that Asian influence? What does it tell about those who took advantage of bringing that? I mean, was that common throughout culture, or was it reflective of particular social class tastes, or
all of the above? I would say it's interesting in that when the Portuguese were actually the first to go over to Asia, into Japan in 1543. But when the materials were brought back, when the goods were brought back, they would have to, make a pit stop over in Mexico City. And so a lot of these goods would be, distributed in the local region. They'd be taken, on foot. People would carry these. And as I said, they would take them into like Santa Fe, New Mexico, and other areas where they would take them to get them over into Europe. But because they were so rare, and because they were so different, and because they were so exquisitely made, I mean, just the materials that were used in Asia, the precision of the artwork, the silk works that came over, the ceramic works, some of the furniture, it was just, people were mesmerized by it. So it created this fad. And really, during the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries in particular, as this chinoiserie fad spread and became a craze, really, it was a real symbol of your wealth and worldliness to display anything that was of a, chinoiserie of style. Mm-hmm.
Now, so how does this exhibit then fit in the broader scope of Winitor and Henry Francis DuPont's mission for the museum?
Well, Winitor is first and foremost an educational institution. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We have, of course, two graduate programs, one of which Dennis Carr graduated from. That was begun in 1952, graduate program in American Material Culture. And then we have a second one that was begun in 1974, which we also operate with the University of Delaware, the Winitor University of Delaware program in art conservation. So, really, looking to history, preserving items, presenting them to the public, educating people is what we're all about. And because of the nature of this exhibition, the works that are in it, a number of the works that are featured are, of course, from the Winitor collection. It dovetails with and helps us to tell our story in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned earlier on about the time of year, and I would love to take a little bit of time for you to talk about Winitor at this time of year, and how this exhibit fits in, not only as you did to the Winitor as an institution, but some upcoming programs to give our listeners a sort of an idea of the types of programming that you do over time, as well as what the grounds have to offer, both now and over time.
Yes. Well, this is a beautiful time of year to come to Winitor, and we're going into just the most sort of majestic colors that will bloom, you know, in the next coming months, April, May, June, and really throughout the summer as the azaleas and azalea woods come into bloom. Winitor is a 1,000-acre estate, and we have a 60-acre naturalistic garden. And naturalistic basically means just what it sounds like. It's not a garden where things are in potted plants or shaped into squares. It was planted to make it look as though every plant that appeared, you know, grew there naturally. There were over 5,000 different, you know, varieties of plants. But right now in bloom, as you come into the property off of Route 52, you will just see hills and hills dotted with these beautiful yellow cheery daffodils. Mm. And even in this cold weather, they, you know, they're very hardy. They've been just, you know, being able to withstand the cold, and they are just lovely. So on April 16, we're going to have our annual Daffodil Day. Mm. This is very popular with children and families. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of children's crafts, you know, entertainment, games, those types of things, and tours throughout the day. So that is really the first thing coming up. As I mentioned, the azaleas will be blooming soon in Azalea Woods and elsewhere on the property, and those colors are absolutely just spectacular. Every Wednesday in the garden, we are hosting garden walks, and those are at 11:30 a.m. in April and May, and then at 1 p.m. on the second Saturdays of April and May. And so different themes are featured each week, and it's led by someone from the horticulture department. So you have a lot of fun, you get some exercise, you're in a pretty environment, and you learn something too. So it's just a win-win-win all the way around. Then next up for programming, we have our Peonies and Primroses Day. And that's on May 15. That will also feature tours of the garden, our peonies, our primroses, and a lecture by Paul Meyer, who will be joining us from the Morse Arboretum of the University of Pennsylvania. And just what also coming up early May, I want to note we have sort of a dynamic duo weekend coming up here. On May 7, we're going to have the Azaleas and Bluebells Day. And that will feature guided and self-guided tours all day long of Azalea Woods. We'll also have plant sales that day, as we will on May 15. Now, on Sunday, May 8, that's also Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. That's our 38th annual point-to-point. And you'll notice I have my point-to-point pin
on
here.
Yes, you do.
That's such a great regional event. You know, we say it's our answer to the Kentucky Derby.
Uh-huh.
you know, it's just growing and growing. I mean, I think we had, you know, nearly 15,000 people last year, but spread out over, you know, just this huge expanse of land with the steeplechase races and, you know, bring a picnic basket or, you know, get a tailgate spot, invite some family members or some friends or just, you know, a special someone, or come by yourself and walk around. It's just a wonderful day. Mm-hmm. And gates open to the general public at 11:30 and close at 4 that day. So that's going to be just a wonderful day. And because it is Mother's Day, we are doing some special things for moms, and we're going to have a family brunch tent where you can bring mom in to have a spectacular gourmet delicious brunch. Mm-hmm. And enjoy the outdoors, and put, you know, girls and women, put your hats on and dress up, and guys, you know, get a little more dressed up, maybe a suit jacket or not. You can wear, you know, whatever you might wish. But it is a fun day, and people like to get dressed and dressed up and just kind of walk around and watch the races.
That's wonderful. Just a great series of events and activities, both indoor and outdoor. Could you speak? We have 2 minutes left. Could you speak a little bit about some of the regular tours? Because I know there's some different tours throughout the house. Are there not?
There are. We have a variety of tours in the house, and with general admission, you get our general house tour, and that lasts about 45 minutes or so. General admission also allows you to go on the garden tram, and those admission passes are good for 2 consecutive days. Before we move on, I do want to just mention that we've started Wednesdays at Wintertour, and it's a special programming prong to really complement the Made in the Americas exhibition.
Okay, so great.
On Wednesday evenings, we have live entertainment. We have wine tastings. Last night, Greenville Winery was there. We had just a spectacular band there last night, Los Nostros. And I'll tell you, people had really a lot of fun. So Wednesday evenings, please come over to Wintertour, and on April 20, we're going to have Pay What You Wish. So if you want to pay $1 or $10 or whatever you want to pay, and we'll have entertainment then as well, April 20 and May 18 also Pay As You Wish. But yes, yeah, so house tours all included in your general admission pass.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you do often, you offer season passes as well as individual day visits, is that right?
Well, we have
memberships.
Memberships, right. Yes. And memberships are very, well, they're super value-oriented and value-packed, I'm going to say, because you get so much for your money. You know, they're under $100, varying prices, discounts for seniors, discounts for children, discounts for students, and you really have access to Wintertour all year long.
Right.
You know, even when we close to the public January and February, our members can still come in. Yeah, so just a lot going on for our members, and the regular admission passes are 2-day.
Well, I think the programming that Wintertour has been doing has really been fascinating. From your blockbuster exhibit last year of the Downton Abbey.
Yes, wasn't that incredible?
Exhibit, which was fascinating, to now Made in the Americas, The New World Discovers Asia, to really accentuate the global influence of the arts that long precedes any economic or political, you know, all the language that we're hearing today about, you know, globalization. The arts have been doing that for centuries, and this is a great opportunity to see that.
Yes.
At Wintertour. Liz, it's been a pleasure having you with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.